one might find a certain irony in Matthew 6, verses 1 through 6 and 16 through 21 being read at an Ash Wednesday service, a service which marks the beginning of Lent. Lent, it's that time of the Christian year in which it seems like we emphasize and do the very things that Jesus told his disciples and his followers not to do. I mean, a little later in the service, we're going to impose ashes, something that people would do when they fasted to disfigure their faces and make themselves look dismal. But this year, it will be on the top of your hand for safety reasons. And let's admit it, it's not uncommon to overhear Christians, regardless of whether they are Roman Catholic or Orthodox or Protestant, talk about what they're giving up for Lent, what they're fasting from for Lent. But before we throw out the ashes, ditch our Lenten meditations, leave penance and being penitent at the door, and discard any sense of piety, we might want to take a moment and pause and listen not only to our gospel reading, but to what the psalmist wrote in the last few verses of Psalm 51. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Now, it is customary on Ash Wednesday to read at least a portion of Psalm 51 during worship. And tonight, as is customary, we will also read the first 17 verses of Psalm 51 responsively. But like in many places, we will not read 18 and 19, in which the psalmist seems to reverse course and declare that the sacrifices which the Lord just a few verses before would not have been well pleased with will now be pleasing to the Lord. But before we think that the psalmist was confused and didn't know what the psalmist was writing, it's not actually a reversal. The psalmist is making an important point we would be wise to hear. Our action and the sincerity of our actions follow our heart, and we cannot divorce the two. It is not that our outward worship of God does not matter to God. It actually does, and it matters so much that what is in our heart matters too. And if we listen carefully, we hear this pattern in Jesus' words as well. And this is because our bodies, our flesh, our fingers, our bones, our very selves matter and matter to God. These bodies made of dust, knitted together by our Creator in our mother's wombs, these bodies, which would be nothing but dust and ashes but for the breath of God, they matter. And because these creations of our God matter, we cannot divorce our faith, our belief, our heart, our mind, and our souls from our flesh and bones. We cannot break the bond between who we are, what we believe, and what we do from the very dust that we are made of. The words that we speak, the moving of our tongues and our mouths, the movement of our hands and arms if we use sign language, the movement of our fingers as we type, the feelings and emotions we telegraph to each other by how we hold our bodies and our expressions, it all matters. For the words we think inform what we do and how we act towards each other and toward God. when we try to intellectualize our faith, say that our faith is really just in our mind and in our heart, and it doesn't matter what our bodies do, when we spiritualize our beliefs and sever them from our bodies and our actions, we ignore the very movements of our God. The movements of God which created us and walked among us in Jesus Christ, and the movement of our God in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we sever our faith and our belief from our very bodies, we forget that kneeling matters. Not because of a tradition or what someone said we should do, but because when we kneel in prayer, we're submitting to our God. We forget why we take ashes upon us. And it's not so we can walk around with ashes on our heads or on our hands to telegraph that we're Christians or we went to an Ash Wednesday service. We take ashes upon our heads or our hands to acknowledge the sovereignty of the Lord of life over us and our finite bodies. We forget when we divorce ourselves from our heart that what we do truly does matter, and how we treat others matters, and we can't pretend otherwise. And Jesus knew this, just as the psalmist knew this. Jesus knew that our words, our thoughts, and our actions follow our hearts. And then when we do things to look good for others, when we do things to receive praise from others, when we do things for the approval and adulation of others, our heart, it's not on God. It's on us. And our treasure is here, and our treasure is us. Thus, when we read Matthew 6, we shouldn't take away that we're not to fast, that we're not to pray out loud, to give alms, or to wear ashes on our heads or on our hands, or to not to be penitent. It's that we're not to do it for our own glory, our own honor, or for others to see. Because it doesn't matter whether our prayers are as beautiful as a Wendell Berry poem, or our singing is as moving and melodic as Johann Sebastian Bach's Passion of St. Matthew, or that our prayer is simply a groan or a shout, or a simple prayer around a table that says, "Dear Jesus, thank you for this food. Amen." What matters is that our hearts and our actions and our worship are for God and God alone. And so while we might find tonight's reading ironic, given the rituals that we put into the seasons of Lent, it is far from that. It is a reminder of how much we matter to our Creator and to our God, and how much what we do truly matters to our God and to each other. Friends, this Lent, as we journey together towards Holy Week, towards Maundy Thursday, towards Good Friday, and the tomb of Holy Saturday, and the bright dawn of Easter, I invite you not to rush, not to look forward to Easter the entire time, not to sit here waiting for the purple to fade to black and go into the white of Easter. No. Lent is long for a reason. I instead invite you to cast aside your cynicism, your pride, your expectation of either being approved of or judged by others. For these things only serve to dull and shield our hearts from God's call to discipleship. And instead, I invite you to hear the words of our Savior and the words of the Holy Spirit anew, as if you'd never heard them before, and with wonder and amazement. Open your heart, your eyes, your very being to the love story between God and creation and humankind, a story in which we hear the love of our God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our communion through the Holy Spirit in the words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please join with Paul and your wonderful humming or mouthing or whispering in the hymn, "Softly and Tenderly Jesus is Calling."